Daf Tzadi Vav, Amud Aleph, 11 lines down, Amar Rava. The Gemara now is dealing again with the subject of Shvach Gzela, and we mentioned the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree fundamentally that the Gazlan has kinyonim in the Shvach. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Gazlan has a complete, total kinyon in the Shvach. Rav Shimon limits his kinyan to mechtza, shlish v'revia. And now the Gemara continues on that line. Omar Rava, gozal v'shbiach. The gazlan was mashbiach, the gzela. Now he, the gazlan, was kone, a certain percentage, a certain element in this object. And that's called a shvach. Umochar, and now he went ahead and he sold his ownership rights in the object to somebody else, to lokeach. Rava gives another variation. V'gozal v'shbiach v'horish. Or alternatively, he stole, he improved the object and the value of the object that was stolen appreciated, and now he dies and his yorshim inherit him. Mashish biach mochar mashish biach horish. Rava says that which he owns, he sold that percentage, and that which he owns, he bequeathed to his heirs. What's the chiddush of Rava? And moreover, why does Rashi interpret this sugya of Rava in the light of takonas hashavim? Meaning our mission at the beginning of Hagozel establishes that if a person steals wood and he makes it into a kli, he doesn't have to return the object because of takonas hashavim. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, interprets the halacha of gazlan kodeh v'shvach based on shinui. Rashi insists that we interpret this statement of Rava in the light of our mission of Takonas HaShovim. Says the Pnei Yeshua, the reason why Rashi chose our Mishnah and not Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Shvach belongs to the Gazlan, is because Rashi holds that since Rabbi Yehuda is predicated upon Shinui Kone, then what is Rava adding to us? If Shinui is Kona, for sure he could sell that which he acquired. That's exactly the essence of Kinyan. And that becomes Pshita. But rather, the Chiddush is that Rava says, don't raise the Havamina, that Takonas HaShavim was established in favor of the Gazlan to entice him to do Tshuva, but it has no impact on the Lokeach. There's no reason why the Chacham should have gone that step further and said that therefore the Lokeach acquires ownership based on the ownership of the Gazlan that's fundamentally premised and predicated upon Takonas HaShavim. Kamash Malon, that's the Chiddush of Rava, that the Takon of Shavim is not only when the Shvach is in the hands of the Gazlan, but even when it's transferred over to the Lokeach or to the Oresh. Nevertheless, once Takonas HaShavim established the kinyan of the Gazlan on the Shvach, he can therefore transfer that kinyan over to the Lokeach and the Yoresh, and those do not have to return the Shvach to the Nigzal. Boy Rava. Rava now presents the following suffix. Hishbiach Lokeach Mahu. Perhaps the Takonas HaShavim was instituted in favor of the Gazlan, as we discussed earlier, and whatever Kinyonim the Gazlan has in the Shvach, now he can transfer that over to the Lokeach. But how far do we go with this? Now the Lokeach was Mashbiach, the Gzela. And again, assuming the Gufa Gzela has to be returned to the Nigzal, For example, if let's say we go with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that the Gazlan only is Zoche in a fraction, in a percentage of the Shvach. Does the Lokeach also get the same percentage or not? In other words, we view the Gazlan, according to Rabbi Shimon, as a laborer who works on commission, who gets a certain percentage of the profits. Should we establish the same halacha with regard to the lokeach, and he too is now a commissioned kaviyachal by the nigzal, and he'll get a certain percentage in the shvach? So we can present the suffek of Rava in the following way. There was a takana made on behalf of the gazlan that he can be classified as a person who receives behemos and is mashpiach the behemos, and that takana was made on behalf of the gazlan. Was it made even on behalf of the lokeach? Meaning, to define the gazlan as makabli behemos, to get a percentage of the shvach like an oris, is that halacha applicable even to the lokeach? Shall we say that since the gazlan acquired that percentage of the animal in terms of shvach, that he can transfer over to lokeach, and lokeach, if he's mashpiach, now it's aroy ashbach on his behalf. Please note here, when we say aroy ashbach, it's a little bit tricky. Aroy ashbach is karka, but we're talking about metaltalin. And the Rishonim will point out here that karka ain't an exelis. So with regard to gzelas metaltalin, the gazlan gets shvach, and that's the takonas hashovim. But with regard to karka ain't an exelis, the gazlan doesn't have anything in shvach. Bosar debaya hadar poshta. After Rava raised the suffix, he himself came to a conclusion. He was machriya the suffix ma mochar rishon l'sheni kol schus shetovel yodo. What does the gazlan have the rights to transfer over to the glokeach? All that he has in the object, he has a schus to be mashbiach the object, and that schus he transfers over to the glokeach, and therefore glokeach will get a percentage of the shvach. Now there's a long discussion here about kodem yeyush and liachar yeyush. L'chora, if it's liachar yeyush, then the gazlan has a complete kinyan. The Rambam seems to have a shita here, which has to be studied, that the gazlan, there's no takon on behalf of the gazlan until after yeyush, kodem yeyush. He's not kodem the shvach. And Rav is mechadish that the lokeach has a certain adifus, he has a certain power and kinyan that goes beyond that of the gazlan. And if the gazlan was mashpiach the gzela, and then he sold it, the lokeach acquires ownership on the shvach even before yeyush. That's the chiddush of Rava, that the lokeach has rights here where the gazlan does not. Because again, the gazlan cannot be konish shvach before yeyush, whereas the lokeach can. That's the shittas of Rambam. Boy Rava. Rav is a suffix. Ishbiach ove kochovim mahu. If a non-Jew steals a Jewish possession, do we have a takana that the gazlan who's a guy can be kone shvach? Amalei Rava, amalei Ravacha midifti l'ravina, takanto liovi kochovim neku v'navo. Shall we establish takana on behalf of a non-Jewish gazlan? The gazlan himself is kone shvach, as we saw in Rashi, because of takonas hashovim. That takonas hashovim was instituted to entice and to motivate the gazlan to do tshuva. That's in the case of a yid, but not in the case of a goy. Amalei Ravina says the following with regard to the suffek that was presented by Rav Acha lo tzricha kigon dezavnei li Yisrael. Rav's original suffek about what's the deal if the guy steals it, which lechora Rav Acha says is safa, is pshita, why would we make a takana in this case, is kigon, it's a more complicated case, says Ravina, and that is the gazlan, who is a guy, sold the gzela to Yisrael, and now we want to know if the Yisrael was kona shvach. So the Gemara says, sof, haba machmas ovid kochom, arek ovid kochom. Since the Yisrael here purchased it from the guy, lechora, all his rights are the rights that he received through this mechira from the guy. The guy doesn't have rights to shevach. Why does the lokech Yisrael have rights to the shevach? Lo tzricha. What's the nature of the suffix of Rava? Kigon the Gazal Yisrael. The Gazan was not a guy. That's pshit. If the Gazan was a guy, there's no kinyan on shvach. Here the Yisrael was the Gazan, v'zavnei niela. And he, the Yisrael Gazlan, sold it to a guy, v'shbicha v'kochavim. Now the buyer, who in this case is a non-Jew, he was mashbiach the object, v'hadar v'kochavim v'zavnei liYisrael. And now the guy sells the object to a Jew. My, what's the din in this case? Me Amrinon came to me, Kara Yisrael, v'hadar Yisrael. At the two bookends, we have Yisrael. The first Gazlan was Yisrael, and Lokeach now, who purchased it from the guy was the middleman, is also Yisrael. Is Avdi Rabbanu Takanta, the Rabbanu would be metaking the regular Takonis HaShavim to allow the Lokeach and the Gazlan to own Shvach. Odilma came a Deika Ovid Kachom Bemtza, Lo Avdi Le Rabbanu Takanta. We made a takana on behalf of the Gazlan Yisrael, but now he sold his object, the stolen object, to a guy. The guy at this point made a kinyan on the object. We're not going to establish a takana on behalf of the guy that he's kona shvach. And now that he sells it to Yisrael, the Yisrael now comes mikoach the akum. He has the same status as the akum. And there's no takana that he, the lokeach, could receive shvach. Teku. The Gemara leaves this as an open-ended question. Now the Gemara goes back to the dinim of Shinui Kone. And in what case, and in what scenario is Shinui Kone? Omer HaPapa, Haiman de Gozel Dikla Michavre Vikatle. A person steals a tree, in this case a date tree from his friend, he cuts it down, Afal Pi, Afal Gav, even though he plants the tree now in his own karka, meaning the Gaza now is basically uprooted a tree from the karka of the Nigzal and has grafted it, has transferred it over to his karka, the Gazan's karka, lokani. Says Rav Papa, in this case, cutting down a tree is not equivalent to shinui. The Gemara says, my time, but why is that so? Lechora, this cutting down the tree is itself a shinui, and the answer is meikara dikla mikri vahashta nami dikla mikri. Before he cuts down the tree, it's called a dikla, and after he cuts down its tree, it maintains its own shame, its original identity, and its name as a dikla. There was no shinui shmo, and what we're saying is that this is not like the case of a gazlan who steals an animal and the animal dies and the misa sabem is considered a shinui, because that's, says Tosus, that's a clear shinui. Here in the case of dekel, apparently it's quite common to replant a dekel, to cut it down from one place and replant it in the other. That's not such a shinui nikar, it's not such a profound shinui. And lechora, let's take the case of behema v'zkino. We said that if the animal was stolen and then it gets older, that constitutes a shinui. Why is that a shinui? And yet cutting down a dekel is worse, it's less of a shinui. In the case of behema, there was no shinui Hashem, it's still a behema. Well, for example, let's take the case where he steals trees, and he softens them down so that now they can be made into nesorim, into planks, where he steals stones and he does situ to soften the stone. The Gemara said back on Tzadi Gimel that that's called a shinui, even though there was no shini Hashem. So the Aruch HaLener says over here that in the case of shinui ktsitsa, where he cuts down the tree, that's gara, that's on a lower level than all the other shinuyim that we mentioned, because the shinui is not in the guf hadekel. It's only separating the chibur from the dekel to the karka. There's a very subtle distinction, a subtle svara of the Aruch HaLener. Again, it's very difficult because in the case of Eitzim that were made into Nesarim, that's a shinui, because there's a change in the name, a shinui Hashem. And again, you're telling me that a dekel, you're just sort of disconnecting it from its original roots, its original growth and connection to the karka. That's not called the Shini Hashem. It's hard to believe that planing out a piece of wood, that is such a more dramatic Shini Hashem. And you're going to have to answer that maybe in the case of Eitzim, the Shini Hashem is a result of Hechsher L'Melacha, meaning you cannot use the natural trees that are bumpy, etc., etc., until you plane it and smooth it out. That itself is a Shini Hashem. Rabbeinu Peretz here is a little bit helpful. He says that this sugya is limited to the case of a Dekel Yavesh, an old Dekel. Or perhaps if a Dekel is not Yavesh, he pulls up the Dekel together with its roots and replants it elsewhere. But if the Dekel is producing fruits, and as a result of the fact that he cuts down the Dekel, it has no longer the ability to produce fruits, that itself would be shinui, equivalent to Misas HaBehema. Now again, let's keep in mind, the act of the Gazlan in cutting down the tree is certainly a Maisa Gzela, and that itself is not enough, says Rav Papa, to establish a shinui and a kinyan, because we need a shinui shem, and without the shinui shem, there's no kinyan on the behalf of the gazlan. Again, as we said before, if the change that the gazlan effectuated is machshir davar l'melacha, in other words, before it wasn't worthy, it didn't lend itself to function, like the case of Eitzim Sheshifa, Mavonim Shesitaton, then he would be Kone, and perhaps some Rishonim want to suggest even without Shini Hashem. So there's a separate halacha here, and two categories. One category is Shini HaMachshir L'Melacha. There we don't need Shini Hashem. But if the shinui is not machshir l'melacha, that's not a radical transformation of the object, then you need shinui Hashem. And Rav Papa says, Meikara Dikla Vahashta Nami Dikla Mikri. A similar halacha applies in Dikla, the Ovid Gove. If he takes a dekel tree and he cuts it down, the gazan, and he cuts it into smaller pieces, logs, Lo koni, that itself is not a shinui. Hashta mias gove de dikla mikri. Although we add an adjective to describe the object, but we haven't changed its basic name. It's still considered dikli. We call it chatichos of dekel. Gove dikli means pieces of a dekel tree. That itself is not a shinui. Again, ask yourself the question, what about the gazan stole wool and he dyed the wool? The Gemara said back on Tzadi Gimel that that constitutes a shinui, even though again it's still called Tzemer, now it's called Tzemer Tzavua. But the answer is the shinui of Tzeva is a more profound change, because the entire Maris, the way the Tzemer looks, has been changed, its appearance. Masha'en Kein here, what we're saying is that this is still Dekel. And it's even the piece of Dekel, even though it's only one slice of Dekel, that's also called a Dekel. It looks like a Dekel, it's just been cut down. Gove v'avdinu k'shure koni. However, in the case where he stole pieces of wood and he made them into koros, into beams, that is a shinui, and the gazlan is kone. Therefore, he doesn't have to return the koros, the beams themselves, but rather pays the value of these pieces as they were at the time of the gzela. Because until now, this shame was govi de dikla, now they're called koros. Let's say he stole kshure ravrave, he stole beams, and they were large beams. We have dinu kshure zuche, and he cuts it down to smaller beams, lo koni. It still has the same shame. There's no chini Hashem. But avdinu ktsutsasias, if he makes these koros crush him, smaller pieces of wood, you wouldn't call them beams. These are two different shemos. One is kshure, and the other is ktsutsasya. Ktsutsasya are no longer these beams, these large beams, and in Hebrew we call them krushim, they're smaller pieces. Like, for example, when you put up schach, so you have these smaller pieces of wood, those wouldn't be called beams. The word kshure, which means koros, are very large beams that you use to hold up a structure. So that's a shinui shem, and the gazan is kone, which means he only has to pay the domim of the original value at the time of the gzela, but he doesn't have to return the object itself. Omar Rava, Haiman de gazal lula visa, luliva, v'avdinu hutzi, he stole a lulav, and he removed the various branches from the spine. You know, every lulav is made up of two parts. It's got the shidra, the spine, you'll see it going up and down in the middle of the thicker piece in the middle of the lulav, and then there are olim, there are the pieces that come out of the shidra. And now he took the lulav, basically changed it entirely, made it into olim. He ripped off the branches and took apart the lulav, piece by piece, kani. Why may kara luliva mikri fahashta hutzi? You know, before it was a lulav. Now nobody calls it a lulav. They're called hutzi. They're called olim. You know, little branches. Now, the lulav, as you know, is different than all the other objects that we mentioned, that we dealt with, insofar as it's a cheftishal mitzvah. At least it's royal mitzvasa. Now, if this lulav was a kosher lulav, and the gazlan made a change in the lulav in such a way that it's possible, that transition from kosher to possible is itself a shini Hashem. And why then does Rav ask to insist that it's hutzi? It changed its name because now we call it olim. As long as he possibles the lulav, that itself is a shini. The answer is that it must be, Rav is addressing a case that the lulav was posel to begin with. So that transition from kashrus to posel did not take place. And therefore, when he takes a lulav posel, he's only kone b'shinu if he makes it into through shini Hashem ahutzi. Fine. We're going to see this in a minute in the sugi of Tiomis, that passing a lulav itself constitutes a shinui, by definition. Now, hutzi vavdinu chufya, he takes these branches of a lulav, ties them around together, and he makes it into a broomstick. Kani, that itself is a shinui. Why to make kara hutzi? Originally, we called it hutzi, these branches of a lulav tree. Vahashta chufya, now it's called a kli, it has a different status. It's like the case in our Mishnah where he stole eitzim and he made it into a kli or kalim. The Ravid adds a little bit of a twist over here. He wants to say that what is a chufya? It's a nartik me'oli lulav ha'asui lechipui kalim. It is some sort of a what word could I use to translate nartik? it's a covering. He weaves together the leaves or the branches of the lulav to create this kind of covering that was used to cover various utensils. And in order to do so, in the manufacturing process, he has to split up the olim into strips, into ritzuot, very thin strips, in order to weave them together. That itself is a shinui. But here we have the opposite case. He stole chufya, which is a broom, according to the Rishonim, or some sort of covering, an artik, according to the Ravid, the avdei, Sharshusha, Sharshura. Sharshura means some sort of a rope is lokani. By time in the Hadar, Sosile Vavi Chufya. He can simply take apart the rope, the piece of the rope, and he can return it into its original matate, to its original state of being a broom. And that's called Shini Achozel Briyosa. We had a long discussion early in this perek that Shini has to be an irreversible Shini. Here we have a case of reversible Shinui. And we're going to see this principle over and over again as we go through the sugi here on Daf, Tzadi Vav Amid Aleph, and Tzadi, mostly on Tzadi Vav Amid Beis. Boy Rav Papa, Rav Papa raised the following suffix, which is really a suffix in Hilchus Dalad Minim. He stole a lulav, and nechleka atyomes. The top, every shidra has a tyomes, which is, you'll take a look on the top of your lulav, you'll see there's one line that takes you all the way on the top, and it has to be absolutely adhered together, you know, connected together, pasted together, I mean a natural pasting. But in this case, that the tyomes split, in the middle of the lulav it split, and Rav Papa wants to know, if in such a case the tyomes was split, does the gazlan who stole this lulav before the splitting of the tyomes effectuate a kinyan of shinui? And it all depends on whether this lulav became possible of its vaso. As we said before, the transition and the change from a lulav that's a chefetz shel mitzvah royal mitzvasa to a lulav that's pasul mitzvasa is a profound shinui in the gazlan, can be kone. But it all depends upon what's the din of nechlecha hatyomes. There's a fascinating discussion in the Tshuvos of Rabbi Kveger about what kind of a psul in lulav would be profound enough to create, to constitute a shinui. What is the psul of nechleka tiyomis? There are two shitos, there are two possibilities here. One is a psul of lekicha tama, and the other is a psul of chisaron hadar. And the nafkamina would be, what's the din in Shar Yomim? There are certain psuei lulav, as we know, that apply on Yom Tov Rishon, which is Doraisa L'Katchem Yom HaRishon, that don't apply in the other days. Now, if you hold that the psul of Nechlecha Tiyomis is because it's not called Lekicha Tama, that psul is limited to the first day of Yom Tov. It doesn't apply to the balance of Chag HaSukkos. So really, it still retains its shame lulav, albeit for the balance, not for the first day. Is that enough for Shinui? However, Tosfos in Sukkah is of the opinion that the psul of Nechlecha Tiyomes is Chisaron Hadar, and that might be enough to constitute a profound shinui. Now, exactly what is Nechlecha Tiyomes is a big to-do here in the Rishonim and the Poskim. We were assuming now that there's one Ola that goes all the way to the top and has to be connected throughout, even on top. However, there's a sheet of Rashi in Sukkah Lamed Beis that the Tiyomis itself is two different branches, the top branches that come together. And these are branches that come from the Shidra, and they are Dvukim Zelazer, and they're covered by a Klipa, which is called a Korah. And that Korah connects them together. And Rav Papa wants to know if these two olim, which go all the way to the top from the Shidra, were split, and it was split lechol orcham, and it's up and down from the shidra and all the way up. And the shidra goes up to a certain point and then it splits into two olim, and those olim are connected on top with a klipa, a red klipa, which is called a korah. And now what happens is the nechlekat yomis means that those two olim were split all the way down to the shidra. The Rif, for example, and other Rishonim say that the Tiyomis is a pair of Olim that exist on every single Ola. And what is Nechlekat Tiyomis? It means Nifrat Zug Olim Zemizem Rov Ole HaLulav. Most of the branches of the Lulav have this split. And there are other Shitas. Tashma, the Gemara has a Hachra on the suffix of Rav Papa, the Amar Rabbi Masun, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Nitla Tiyomes Pasul. If the Tiyomes was completely removed, then and only then is the Lulav Pasul. And here we turn to Tzadivav Amid Beis. My love, hu adin lenechlika. And just like if the Tiyomes was removed, it was cut off or broken off, so too, if it was split, it's possible, meaning the Tiyomes is the key of keys. And it holds the, you know, just like we say about the Pitum in the Esrig, that everything depends upon the Pitum, here too, everything depends upon the Tiyomes. So what says lo? What says, how can you make that equation? Nitla, shiny, da chasale. The lulav is missing that piece, that part. It's been broken off. It's called the tiyomis. But nechlekov, there was a split in the tiyomis. There was no chisaron. There's no piece of the lulav that's gone. And maybe it's kosher. Ika diamri toshma diomer Rav Nosson Rav Yeshua ben Levi nechlekov tiyomis nasa kemishin nitla. Pasul, that Rav Yeshua ben Levi said explicitly that if there's a split in the tiyomis, the lulav is pasul shmamina. So therefore, in the case of a gazlan who stole a lulav kosher, and then after the gzeila nechka tiyomes, the gazlan's kona the lulav bishina, he only has to pay back the value of the lulav. Amrav papa, haiman de gazal afra michavre. If somebody steals dirt from his friend, I don't know how much this offer is worth, but Viavne Livina, so he makes it into a brick. Lokani, my time at the Hodar Mashvi Leafra. He could take this Levena, this brick, and he could return it and reverse it back into its original state of offer. That makes it into a Shini Achozil Briyasa, and therefore he's not Kone. He could do what's called a Ketisha on the Levena. He could take this brick that's made of offer and he can smash it and pound on it and make it and return it back, transfer it back to offer, and therefore that's a shinui hachozel briyasi, it's not kona. What about in the reverse case? Livenasa, he stole a brick, the avdi ofra, and he pounded it down until it was converted into offer, kani. That is a shinui. My taima, my amrit, what are you going to tell me? Dilma hadavi avdle livenasa, he can take this pounded down offer and return it back, reconstruct it as a brick, and therefore that too becomes a shinui hachoze lebriyaso. And the Gemara answers, no. Hai levenasa achrisi hu. When he takes offer and transfers or converts it into a levena, that for sure is creating a brand new object with the shini Hashem uponim chadoshos bolakan. We have a new face, meaning a new object that's emerged. In other words, the second Levena needs, in order to be created, a whole process of tikkun of gibul. It's impossible lechaven to make sure, to guarantee that the Levena that he would now create would be equivalent to the original Levena. This shinui of ketishas ha-Levena liofar is a shini sheina chosel b'yosa. V'yomer ha-papa ha-iman de-gozel naska mi-chavrei v'yomit zuze. A person, naska is a piece of metal, and he after stealing the metal, he makes coins out of it. Lo kani, that's not considered a shini. My time a hadar ovid lu naska. He could take these coins and convert them back into the original state of a naska of a gush shel kesef, a piece of metal. That's called the shona shini achoz lebriyosin. He's not kona, but in the reverse, zuzi v'avdinu naska. He takes coins and he makes it into a piece of metal. Kani. My armad, you'll ask me, hadar ovid le zuzi. He can again repeat the process and take this naska now and make it back into zuzim. So that makes it a shinu achozul briyosa. No, the Gemara says panim chadashus bolakai. You're not going to see the original zuzim. He's going to create zuzim out of the naska. I'm sorry. He's going to create zuzim out of the naska. It's not going to be the same zuzim as he started with. Ishchime, what happens if he steals a darkened zuzim and the metal changed colors, it rusted with time? Now it's an old coin. V'avdinu chadete, and he implemented through a process of libun a detergent in which he polished up this metal, and it looks like it originally was before it got old. It's lo kani, because again this process is going to again repeat itself. These coins are going to become old coins, and then once again they'll become shchorim. But what about the reverse? Chadati v'avdinu shchimei. If he stole brand new coins and he made them into old coins, kani. I, my amrit, you'll say hadar ovid lu chadati. He can again reverse the process through libun, shine them up and polish them up. No, meita yediyah shichmaihu. Even after he polishes them up, they won't be exactly like brand new coins. Because made the idea, everybody will know it's obvious. You can look at it and realize that it's shachar. It's got this darkened color. It's a shinui she'eno chozer, and therefore it's kona. The Mishnah said zekal kol gazonim shalom kishas agzel zekal asuye mai. Whenever we see in the Mishnah zekal, to summarize the Mishnah, it means to include something that we wouldn't have known about. And the answer is La Suye Hadi Amar Ravila. Ravila is addressing the case of a Ganov, not a Gazov, but a Ganov. Ganov Tle Venasa Ayil, Egel Venasa Shor Nasa Shinu Biyodu Kno. The Ganov is Kona Bishinu. If the animal matures, he stole a young animal, and now it became a more mature animal, it changes its name. The classical case would be where he stole a calf, and now it grew up and it became an ox. That's a profound shini Hashem. Is kno, and therefore tovach u'mochar. Normally we say that a ganov who slaughters the animal or sells the animal is chayv dal vehei. Here there's no chayv dal vehei. Why? Shelo hu toveach v'shelo hu mocher. He already was kona the animal with a shinui, and therefore it's his animal, and tvicho mechira on the Gazan's own animal, the Ganav's own animal, is not a Tficha Mechiri that engenders a Chiyuv of Dalet Vehe. Ahu Gavra de Gazal Panda de Tori Michavri. Panda means a pair of oxen. He stole a pair of oxen. Ozal Krav Behu Krova. And the Gazan now used these oxen to thresh his field. He did a harisha, and then zorabahu zara. After plowing the field, he plants the field. He sows the seeds in the field. Lasof hadrinu lamare, and at the end, the gazlan returned the oxen to its rightful owner. Asal akami de Rav Nachman amalahu zilu shumu shivcha di ashbach. Rav Nachman told the Bali Din that they should evaluate the Shvach and the Sada now enhanced its value, appreciated in value through these malachos that he did with the Shvarim. And the Gazlan has to pay, in addition to returning the Shvarim, the Shvach that he enjoyed from the Shvarim. Amalei Rava, Torei Ashvach, are you telling me that the embellishment, the appreciation of the value of the karka is purely attributable to the shvarim? There's another element here, there's another variable that contributes. Ara lo ashbach, what about the field itself? The field itself, which was owned by the Gazan, but it's his rightful ownership, is a participant in generating the shvach, because the karka, the sod itself, produces its peros. Amalo, so Rav Nachman responds to Rava, Mika imna nishayme kula. Did I say that the Gazan should pay the entire value of the shvach? I just said that we have to evaluate the shvach. Palga ka imna. And now we split the value of the shvach. Half of it goes to the owner of the shvarim, the nigzal, and the other half is owned by the Gazan, meaning he keeps that money. Amalei Rav is still not happy, and he's still chepering Rav Nachman. Sof sof, gzeilahu, kahadra b'ene. We have halacha that the gzeila has to go back to its owner, as is, and the gazan is kona the shvach. This now we have a Mishnah that says, kol gazlan v'shal v'kshasa gzeila, meaning they don't have to pay the shvach, the gazan pays the value of the object that was stolen as it were at the time of the gzeilah, he keeps the shvach for himself. Why then were you mechayev the gazlan here on these shvarim to pay for shvach? Amalei, Rav Nachman was a little bit sensitive about this. He says, lo aminolcha, didn't I tell you, ki asivna bedina lo temali midi? Don't object to my verdict when I sit in judgment, diomar huna chavrin iloi, because already I have the testimony, I got the accolades from huna, that I know shvar malka ache bedino, that I, Rav Nachman, have the same status as Shmuel. Malka is the king of Persia, and that was the name they gave Shmuel, because when it comes to Dini Mominus, he's the king. He's the final word. And Huna compared me, says Rav Nachman, to Shvar Malka, to Shmuel. We have the status of Achim Bedin, as we both have the same status as far as Psak Halacha. And therefore, when I was Machayv the Gazan to pay Chatzi Shvach, I had a reason for that. Hai Inish Gazan Atikahu. This is not a one-time theft. This guy's got a record. He's a mafioso gazlan, a tried and true gazlan. He has a long, long history of gzela. And therefore, ubeino le'iknase, I wanted to break him out of this habit, punish him, and penalize him from these gzelas. And therefore, I made the knas that he wouldn't be kona the shvach. Why? Because he's an old-time gazlan with a long-standing, outstanding record of gzela. This reminds us of the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that even when the Gazlan is Kone Shvach, he was Kones the Gazlan, in the case of a Mezid, to have him fork over the Shvach to the Nigzal, rather than pocket it for himself. We're going to start the Mishnah now. This Mishnah is a continuation of the Mishnah that preceded it on Tzadi Gimel and Beis, and we're dealing with the laws of the Gazlan and the Shinui that came about after the Gzela. And once the Shinui took place, the Gazlan was Kone B'Shinui. And now he has to pay the value of the object, as it were, at the time of the Gzela. Our Mishnah is dealing with the case of a Gazlan. Does he have to pay the Pchas, the deterioration or the devaluation of the Gzela? Or does he have the right to say to the Nigzal, Hareshel Cholofanecha, and you have to suffer the loss and the depreciation of the object? Gozal behemav is kina. For example, he stole an animal and it became old. We'll see exactly what that means later. Avodim v'zkinu, he stole an eved and the eved is no longer able or capable of doing malacha as it did in the past. It got very old. So obviously the behema, if it doesn't have the ability to function and do malacha, or the eved in the same vein, it reduces its value significantly. Is mishalim kishasa gzela. The Tanakhama says that the gazon has to pay the value of the behema or the eved, as it were, at the time of the gzela, the higher value. And he cannot just take the eved or the behema and plop it and return it to the nigzal and say, Harei shalchol fanecha. Rabbi Meir disagrees. He says, V'omer, abavodim, in the case of an eved, omer lo harei shalchol fanecha. And the reason for that is because eved has the same shame, the same status as karka. And just like karka in an exilis, the karka always remains in the reshus of its bailim. The same din applies to avodim, and the eved is always considered in the reshus of the bailim. And therefore, any shinui is not kone for the gazlon, because karka ain't an exilis, avodim ainum nigzolim. And therefore, the eved is always in the reshus of the bailim, and if the eved goes down in value, that's the loss of the nigzal of the Bala Eved. The Gazan says to the nigzal here, Arei Shalchol Fanecha. The Mishnah now gives other cases of shinui, biyad ha-gazlan. And the shinui is nikar. It's something that you can see and observe. Gazal matbea v'nistak. The Gazan stole a coin and now it was split. It got a crack in it. That's a shinui hanikar. It's something that anyone could see. And peros verkivu, he stole fruits and they got spoiled. Once again, it's something that is obvious to the naked eye. The Gemara later on is going to explain on Daf Tzariches exactly what the level of this spoilage was. Yain vehichmitz, the gazlan stole wine and it became fermented. And that's again a shinui hanikar, something that's obvious. The reach and the tam, everything changes. In all these cases, there's a shinui hanikar, and the gazlan is kona the shinui mishalim kshasak zela. He pays the value of the object, whether it's the matbea, the peros, the yayin, as it were, at the time of the zela. And he himself is kona the object. Matbea v'nifsal. Now we get to the cases of a shinui she'eino nikar, very similar to the case in the Zikin called hezek she'eino nikar that we touched upon at the beginning above a comma. The matbea was removed from currency. It's exact same matbea. The time of the gzela and now the time of the hashava are, you know, there's no difference in terms of the physical appearance of the coin. So it's eino nikar, that shinui, even though now the coin is worth virtually nothing. Or truma v'nitmeis, the gazlan stole truma that was tahora, now it became tmeya, it cannot no longer be eaten, you have to burn truma tmeya, so it's virtually worthless. But again, this shinui is eino nikar, you can't, you know, it's not obvious to the naked eye that this truma became truma tmeya, came in contact with the sheretz or whatever have you. And Rashi in Gittin, not here, writes that this truma became tmeya through no fault of the gazlan. And the Mishnah of Melech and Hilchos Gzeilu Perek Gimel writes that if the gazlan himself would have actively been metameit, he cannot say Harei Shalchol Fanecha. Chometz v'yomer lo v'pesach. If the gazlan steals chometz, now he returns it after Pesach became osur banot, worthless. That's the din of chometz sh'yomer lo v'pesach, which is osur b'chilu b'hanah liolam. And this iser is a knas v'divrei sofrim, because of the violation of Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. You wonder here, in the case of the Gazlan, who violates Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh? In any event, there's a discussion here in the Poskim. What happens if the Gazlan would return the Chametz in the middle of Pesach? In such a case, perhaps the Gazlan can no longer say Areishel Cholfanecha, because on Pesach, everyone has a mitzvah to destroy Chametz, and therefore the Chametz is considered Kisaruf, and therefore he's not returning anything of value to the Gazlan, to the Nigzal, and therefore he cannot say Areishel Cholfanecha. That has to be taken under advisement, because how is that different than Chametz Shavu Levav Pesach? As if to say Kisaruf Dami has the status of a Hezek or a Shinui Hanikar. Everybody has to destroy it. It's already considered destroyed. That's a Chiddush. And the next case here is Behema Venis Abda Ba Avera. There was a revia on this Behema, or let's say somebody worshipped this Behema, or is designated for the son. In all these cases, the Behema becomes Psula Lekarbon. We have to know why the Rishonim insist that the change in the animal is because of Psul Lemizbeach. Why not because of the Isra Anov Avodah Zorah, like we said before in Chometz? But in any event, it's a Hezek Sheinu Nikar, a Shinui Sheinu Nikar, O Shenifsala Mi Al Gabi Mizbeach, Mi Lahakriv Al Gabi Mizbeach. Again, this is a case of a Mum She'eno Nikar. Okay, we have to do research on Mum She'eno Nikar, the Gemara in Gittin, Bedukim, Sheba'ayin. These are very slight cuts, and therefore it's not a Mum Nikar. Osha Haisa Yotze Lisakel. Here's a case where the two Eidim who testify about this animal, that's Biyada Gazlan, that it was Rotzeach, it killed a person, Shargas Adam, or it was a Nirva, but here there were Edim, and therefore it's Yotzis Lisakel, you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to have any Anah from it. In all these cases, Omer Lo, the Gazlan, can tell the Nigzal, Hare Shalcha Lefanech. He was not Kona B'Shinui. He can therefore claim that the object, the animal, belongs to its owner, and I don't have to pay, the Gazlan doesn't have to pay the difference between the value of the animal, B'Shasak Zela, and this its worthless status now, B'Shasak Zara, because this is called the Shinui Sheina Nikar, and the Gazlan was not Kona, he can say, Sharei Shal Cholfanech. The Gemara now analyzes the Mishnah as far as Behema Shehizkina, Amar Papa, Lo Iskina is Kina Mamish. We don't have to talk about the radical difference in age between the Shas Gzeil and the Shas Hamad Bedin, La Filu Kochasha. If the animal became weaker, that's what we call Kochash Kocha, the Gazan has to pay Shas Gzeil, he was Kona Vashinui, even though this shinui is not so profound that it affected the whole goof of the animal. The animal is not completely, you know, old and decrepit. For example, the animal now became weaker, became ill, it can no longer work. So the Gemara asks, "Va'anan is kina tanan? Why are you telling me that even if there wasn't such a radical change in the animal of his kina, but it was just kochasha, that's enough to constitute the shini?" The Mishnah says is kina, and the implication is that it has to be is kina mamish, and then and only then he pays kshas like zela, because he was kona b'shinui. But if it was only kochasha, then he should be able to say to the bailim, "Hareishal chol fanecha, there's no shinui." The Gemara answers to defend Rav Papa, kochasha kegon his kina, that the behema was kochasha in a similar way to zikna. Why? Delo hadar bari. It became ill in a way that it will never become healthy again. The Rambam writes, Yesh lo chaloyim she'ein lo refua. And just like zikna is irreversible, so to this kachasha, this sickness, this illness is also irreversible. And therefore, the gazlan pays kishas agzela, and the reason for that is he was kona b'shinui. The Gemara later on is going to tell us that at least according to Rav, we have to change the shitos, mepech hashitos. But as an introduction to that, the Gemara now goes into a discussion touching on the meticulous dedication of the Amoraim to make sure that everything was said in the name of its B'Shem Omer, in the name of its author. Omalei Mark Shisha Breder of Chizla Rav Ashi, Hachi Ka'amri B'Shmei to Rabbi Yochanan. So he's quoting Allah in the name attributed to Rabbi Yochanan. Afilu Gonav Tle Venasa Ail Egel Venasa Shar Nasa Shinu Biyodo Ukno Tovach Umochar Shalo Tovach Shalo Umochar Omole Lav Aminolo Tachlev Gavri Hahu Mishmei Dravi Lo Itmar. So there's a dialogue here as to who was the author, the originator of this statement. Originally, was it Rabbi Yochanan or was it Rabbi Law? According to the tradition of Mark Shisha, it was Rabbi Yochanan who made this statement. Rav Ashi objected and he said, no, don't attribute it to Rabbi Yochanan. The statement is attributable to Rav Ilah. And this has to do with our discussion about stealing an animal that matures, and in this case goes up in value, and that's called a shinui. It was originally a tle, now it's called an ayil, that's a shinui. It was originally an egel, now it is a shar, that's a shinui, and therefore the ganav makes a kinyan shinui. Once he makes a kinyan shinui, then he's no longer chai for a subsequent tvicha umachir because of the principle of shalo tovech, shalo hu mocher. And that's an introduction here to our sugya for today. Rabbi Meir Omer Bavodim Omer lo harei shalcho lefanecha Omer Rav Chanina bar Avdimi Omer Rav halacha ki Rabbi Meir, that we paskin like Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara right away jumps. V'Rav Shovik Rabbanon V'Ovid Kirabi Meir. Normally, the principle universally is that we paskin like the Chachamim against a Yochid. Why would Rav paskin here like Rabbi Meir against the Chachamim? Amrei, the answer is Mishum de Braisa Ipcha Tanya. The Braisa presents the Shitos in the opposite direction, switching the Chacham with Rav Meir and vice versa. It's Rav Meir who holds that you pay Kishas Hagzel, and the Rabbanon are the ones who say that in the case of an Eved, the Gazlan could say, Arei Shalcho Lefanecha, and he is not Kona B'Shinui. Rav is paskening like Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah, which is really the Shita of the Chacham in the Braisa. So the Gemara asks, okay, now, we have one version in the Mishnah, another version in the Braisa, and based on these two versions, Rav is going to paskin halacha, because the rule is halacha chacham against Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara asks, v'Rav shavik masnisen v'ovid kibraisa. Normally we assume that a Mishnah is more authoritative and reliable than a Braisa. Why would Rav leave out the Mishnah? Because in the context of the Mishnah, he would have paskin like the Chachamim in one direction, and he prefers to paskin like in the opposite direction based on a Braisa. And the answer is, says the Gemara, Rav Masnisa Nami Ipchatani. Rav had a different text, a different version of our Mishnah, and even in our Mishnah, it was Mepuch. It was the other way around. Umay Taima de Rav, the Apich Masnisen, Mekami de Braisa. Why would Rav... Just one second, I wanted to correct one thing I said. I thought that when the Gemara says, Rav Masnisen Nami Ipcha Toni, I thought it meant that Rav had a different text, a different version of our Mishnah. No. Rav changes the text of our Mishnah based on the Braisa. You'll ask, why does the Brice have the power to impact on the Mishnah and switch around the names and the Shitos? Adarabba, why don't we do it the other way around? Nepuk Labraisa Makami Mastis, why don't we assume that the Mishnah is the correct version and the Braisa is incorrect? Amri the Gemara answers, Rav Nami Masnisin Ipcha Asne. Rav himself had a different version of the Mishnah, as we said earlier. We were just a little bit premature. And Rav had a Kabbalah. He had a tradition from his rabbis, his Rabosov, to change the Girsa in the Mishnah, or to have a different Girsa in the Mishnah. By saying another possible answer is Kilo Apik Chada Mikami Chada. If it's a Mishnah against the Braisa, then the Braisa loses out. But here's the case of Chada Mikami Tarte Apik. If there are two Braisos against one Mishnah, then we're going to switch around the Mishnah in favor of the two Braisos. Now earlier we had a Braisa that had the Shitos Hafuchos, the opposite of the Mishnah. But where is the second Braisa? And now the Gemara says it was two Braisas against that Mishnah. The Sanya, we have a Braisa, Hamachlif Para Bechamar, Viyolda. They did a Kinyan Chalipin, right? I'll sell you my Para and exchange, you give me your Chamar. Now the parah gave birth to a calf, and we're not sure whether or not the birth of the calf of the vlad took place before the kinyan or after the kinyan, and therefore we don't know whether the baal hamor acquired ownership not only on the parah but also on the vlad. Well, no, the vlad remains that of the in the possession of the baal hapar, because it was never included in the sale, in the exchange, because the vlad was born before the para. Fine. So the case of chalipin of para v'chamar is where the baal hapar makes a kinyan meshicha on the chamar, and immediately the para is now transferred over to the ownership of the baal HaChamor. However, at the time of the Kinyan, when the Baal HaPara made a Meshicha on the Chamor, we did not see that, there's no clear-cut evidence to establish whether or not this was before or after the Leda. The next case in the Braisa is V'chein Hamocher Shifchaso. A man sells a Shifcha that he owns. And again, Shifcha has the same status of an Eved, and it's Hukash Lekarka. And he's paid money for this. But V'yolda, however, at the time of the exchange of money, of Kesef, for the purchase of this Shifcha, there was no way that we could clarify whether or not the Shifcha had already given birth. So we have a suffix whether she gave birth before the Mechira, and therefore the child, the young Shifcha, the baby Shifcha, belongs to the original owner. We'll call him the Mocher. Or was the birth after the Mechira, and therefore the baby belongs to the Lokeach. The Braisa gives a few variations here, different scenarios. In the first scenario, the Mocher claims that the Vlad was born before the Kinyan, Vahala, and the Lokeach, or the Baal HaChamor, Shosek, means he admits that he has a Taina Shema, that he really doesn't know exactly when it happened. So we have Bari, and we have Shema. In such a case, Zachaba, the Mocher, because of his Taina's Bari, gets to keep the Vlad, and the reason for that is because the Kone was Shosek, he doesn't know whether he has ownership on the Vlad or not. And in this case, we apply the principle of Bari Veshema Bari Adif, and the Vlad belongs to the Mocher, and that's because we have a Drora de Mamona here. However, if both the mocher and lokeach admit that they don't know, is yachloku. They take the vlad, and each one owns half the vlad. If each one is a toen tainas bari, that the kinyan happened either the mocher saying before the birth, excuse me, happened before the mechira, before the kinyan, and the lokeach says exactly the opposite. Is yishova mocher shebershuso yolda? The mocher is considered the muchzak here, because it's now the baal hachamor, or the buyer of the shif, who's trying to get the vlad out of the hands of the mocher. And therefore, we have a principle in Sfeikos, lefi shekola nishboin shebatora nishboin velo mishalmin. That's called nishba v'niftar, that the muchzak himself takes the shvu. The toveh who's trying to get money out of someone else does not take a shvuas nishba v'notel. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Now this sugya is a little bit problematic because Sumchus holds that Mamna Muto B'Safek is Cholkim, and that principle, according to the Gemara Bav Metzia Daf Kufa Mitbeis, in the sheet of Rabba Bar Avuna, assumes that Sumchus applies and Cholkim applies according to Sumchus even in Bari Ubari. Here the Mocher is given the rights to take a Shvua of Nishba V'Niftar, and we're not going to say Cholkim on the Vlad. And this question is raised by the Ritva and other Rishonim, and they answer that Sumchus agrees that in a case where the Nitba is Chayav Shvu Doraisa, and he's a Nishba V'notel as Hakol, Sumchus would agree that we're going to suspend the din of Cholkim, and we're going to apply the principle of Nishba V'niftar. Now the nitba here is the mocher, because it's the lokeach who wants to get the vlad out of the hands of the mocher. The mocher is chayv shvua because he's modeh that the shivcha herself belongs to the lokeach. In other words, he received payment, or he made a kinyan, a mashicha on the chamor, and therefore the par itself has to be transferred, has to be given over to the lokeach. But he denies the vlad, and that makes him into a modem mixtah tainis chayav shvua. And therefore, he has a din of nishba v'niftar, and he can keep and maintain ownership on the vlad for himself. Chachomim omrim ein nishboim lo al avodim v'lo al karkos. In this case of a shivcha, since Eved Hukish Lekarka, there's no Shvua on a Shivcha, therefore the Vlad remains in the Rishus of the Mocher until the Kone, the buyer, can prove that the Vlad is his. And it's clear from this Braisa that the Chachamim are the ones who say that Karka and Eved has the same, both have the same din. This is the second Braisa which leads us to Mepuch, leads Rav to Mepuch, because this clearly indicates that Eved Hukash Lekarka, and that applies straight across the board. And even though the Mishnah assumes in the version of our version of the Mishnah that the Chachamim hold that the Eved is not a Karka, and therefore he cannot say a racial Chol Fanecha under the law of Karka, and in Exelus he has to pay the Bailam Kshas Exela. But from this Braisa, we prove clearly that the Chacham hold that Eved have a din of Karka. And therefore, the Gazan is allowed, has rights to claim that Hareshel Cholofanecha. There's no Gzela in Eved, there's no Shinui to be Kona in Eved. And if Hareshel Cholofanecha, if the Eved is now an alter Eved, that's what you're going to get. The Gemara asks, Hai Halacha Kerabi Meir. So why is it that if Rav changes the Girsa of our Mishnah, he should have said, not halacha k'Rabbi Meir, but halacha k'chachamim, halacha k'chachamim boile, hachi komar, l'maitaf chisu v'tanisu halacha k'Rabbi Meir. What he said was that since we switch around the shitos, therefore, we meaning here you, and since you have changed the correct year, so now, and therefore the Mishnah reflects your mistake, is halacha k'Rabbi Meir.
In other words, I pass it like the Chachamim, but according to the Yor Girsa in the Mishnah, is the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, who's really, really the Chachamim. The Gemara now asks the following question: Umi Omar Rav Avda Kimakarke Domi? Do we not have some sort of a stira from one statement of Rav to another? And here we're on Daf Tzadi Zayin Omar Aleph. V'omar Rav Daniel bar Rav Ktina Omar Rav, the name of Rav Atokef Avdo Shel Chaver V'yosa Bo Malacha Potur. If a person grabs on to the Eved, his own Eved, or in this case, I'm sorry, it's the Eved Shel Chavero, and he does a Malacha with the Eved, so he really basically stole the Eved and did Malach with the Eved, Potter, he doesn't have to pay the Pu'ula, the Schar Pu'ula, the wages of the Eved. V'isakadaitcha avto kimekake domi amai Potter, b'shusei demarikai. If you're going to tell me that according to Rav, the dinim of Avadim are equal to the dinim of Karkos, then why should this Tokev be Potter to pay for the Tashlum of Pu'uloso shela Eved? The Eved is not stolen. Brishusi de Marikoi remains in the Rishus of its master, of its rightful owner. Just like Karkain and Exelis, and it's always considered in the Rishus Bailim, so to the Eved is always considered in the Rishus Bailim. So even though physically the Gazlan here took the Eved out of the Rishus of the Bailim, but nevertheless, halachically Alpidin, it's in the Rishus of the Bailim, and therefore the Gazlan should now pay for the pu'ula, the schar pu'ula of the Eved, and unless we assume that Rav holds that Eved is not equivalent to Karka, and therefore the moment that the Gazlan is tofes the Eved, it's no longer the Rishus of the Rav, and therefore he doesn't have to pay schar pu'ula. So, and the Gemara answers, Hachamai Askinon, in what situation did Rav formulate this din, even though Eved is hukish lekarka, is shalobishas melocha, that the Gazlan grabbed the Eved out of his friend's possession when it was not shas melocha. There's certain hours of the day in which an Eved works, but these were hours, off hours, I guess you'd say. And therefore, if the Bailam is not working with the Eved now, ki ha disholech Rav Abba lemori bar mori. Okay, Rabbi, so I think at this point we'll take a break, because this is already a little bit more of a complicated sugya. And there's a suffix that was sent, just to translate the words, but we'll get into it in Mir Shem another time, that was sent from Rabbi Abba to Mori Barmar, boy me name Rav Huna, is Hadar b'chotzel chaver shalom midaito, is tzorech la'loslo, a schar, o ein tzorech aloslo schar. This is the famous case of Kofin al Midas Dom. V'sholchu lei, and they sent an answer to this question back to Rabbi Abba, is eino tzorech aloslo schar. He doesn't have to pay him if he squats in his land. He doesn't have to pay him schar dira, and just like he doesn't have to pay schar dira when he uses the chotzer of chaver shalom midaita, so too the Gemara assumes that if a man grabs onto the Eved, shalom midas bailim, and he does malacha with the Eved, since it was at a time which wasn't appropriate, it wasn't fit for the Eved to do malacha for the bailim, is the Gaza doesn't have to pay the schar pu'ula. So the Gemara says, Hachi hashta, those two cases are not equatable. Bishlema hasam bein lamanti omar besa miyatzva yosiv is nichole u bein lamanti omar u she'ia yukashar nichole elohacha mi nichole denechush avde. In other words, when you take a case of a squatter in someone's land, so the person who's living in the land is really protecting the land, because the land can get charef. But a person living in the land is no longer a haunted house, an isolated house that's bereft of any human presence. he now is a shomer olav. He's really doing a tikkun, if you will, on behalf of the owner. Is nichalei, therefore, it's nichalei to the baal ha-chotzer that someone's living in his chotzer. And even though that person, that squatter, is not going to be paying him schar dira, nevertheless, it still works in on behalf and for the benefit of the baal ha-chotzer. And then there's a second man, the Yomer, who quotes a pasuk in Yeshayo Novi. The pasuk is talking about a shade. The name of the shade is She'ia. And this shade breaks down all sorts of gates and destroys all sorts of walls of a house. If a house is haunted and no one's living there, is nichale. Again, it's good, it's beneficial for the baal ha-chotzer that someone's living there, even if he's not going to be paying. But here, in the case of someone who grabs onto someone else's eved, is it really nichale? Is it beneficial for the baal ha-eved that someone is working with his eved? When he works with the eved, he's weakening the eved. You know, an eved has X amount of a limited amount of energy, and now he's sapping the energy of the eved. And therefore he should be paying schar pula. And the Gemara answers, Amri, hachanami nichole, delolistere avde. It's also beneficial for the owner of the eved that someone used his eved for malach. And why is that? Because we don't want the eved to get used to batola. That leads to atzlus, to making this eved into a lazy bones. You know, he doesn't want to do work. And therefore, it's beneficial for the baal ha-eved that somebody does malacha with this eved, and the eved is not yoshev batel. And therefore, atokev es avdo, shel chaveru, einu tzorach l'shalim lo, schar pu'ulas ha-eved. We'll stop here.